All right, Mike. Well, thanks so much for taking some time to talk with me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
So the band name is Hollis Brown, and I'm going to just confess, Mike, right off the bat, that I thought there was a guy named Hollis Brown in the band that was like the headliner of the band. But the
you
band,
and most people.
Yeah, right. I'm sure I'm in good company. But the band name is actually based on a Bob Dylan tune called "The Ballad of Hollis Brown." That's kind of a grim song. Where did that connection come from for you as you were thinking about what to call the band?
Yeah, so you know, we started in New York City. We were throwing around a bunch of ideas, as most of you know bandmates do when you're trying to land a name. And we couldn't come up with anything that we liked. We kind of just had all these names, and nobody, you know, one member didn't like it, so we scrapped it. And then we thought, oh, the Rolling Stones picked their name from a Muddy Waters song. So let's just pick an artist that we, you know, admire and really love, and we'll pick one of their songs. So we all love Bob Dylan, our, you know, probably our biggest inspiration as artists. And somebody said, how about Hollis Brown? Because it's a person's name, so it's kind of one identity for all of us. And we thought, okay, that's kind of cool. And now everywhere we go, it's kind of like, which one's pink? You know, everybody asks, hey, hey, Hollis, how's it going? Like, yeah, okay. You know.
Well, how do you describe the sound of Hollis Brown?
I describe the sound as American rock. I think that we're a song-based band, but live, we love to rock out and jam and stuff. But, yeah, I think we're American rock right to the core.
All right. Well, you guys are really known for solid songwriting, I think especially you and Jonathan. How does that work with you guys? How does the process of songwriting work for Hollis Brown, and especially between you and Jonathan?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It kind of changes every record, I think. But a lot of the time, Jonathan will come to me with you know, a guideline for a song, where it'll be a bunch of chord progressions and maybe one melody idea or a lyric that he's thinking of. And then I'll kind of take it from there, and I'll finish it, and I'll put order to it, and I'll write some melodies, and I'll finish it, and I'll write the lyrics. And then we'll take it from there to where we're happy with it on acoustic guitar and vocal or piano vocal, you know, where we have the song. And then we take it to the band in the rehearsal room, and we show them what we have, and then it changes again, you know. And then we take what we have there into the studio, and then it changes again. So it's kind of, and then we play it live, and it changes again. You know? So it's an ever-evolving kind of process for us, and we never settle, and we always like to still change up the parts live and make it interesting. So it's kind of ever-evolving, but usually it starts with, sometimes it'll start with me kind of writing a verse and a chorus and being stuck, and then John coming and finishing the bridge. Or sometimes it works where I have a vocal melody and lyrics for an entire song, but not sure what the chord, what would be the right chord. And so John or Adam in the band or Andy, and we'll all just kind of work on it, you know.
Yeah. Well, where does the inspiration for your music come from? Does it come from personal experience mostly, or do you write about things that are happening in the world? Where is all that coming from?
I think both, you know, definitely for sure personal experiences, but definitely, you know, all my favorite songwriters wrote about things that were happening in the world around them. So we try and throw that in there too. But it's a hodgepodge of things, but definitely life experience, hopefully, is the driving force creatively. That's what resonates, I think, the most, when people can identify with something that you're going through that maybe they're also going through.
Sure. I want to talk a little bit about the song Rain Dance. It's actually one of my favorite songs that you guys have put out, but it kind of came together in a very interesting way from an unfinished Bo Diddley song. Can you describe what happened with that song and how it all came together?
Yeah, sure. I'll try. So we were playing a show in New Jersey, and the head of the Bo Diddley estate was at the show, and she really loved what we were doing, and we were just talking a bit, you know, because we're music junkies, so we're all about we love the history of music and rock and roll music. And we were talking about Bo Diddley, and she was his organ player for 30 years, which was incredible, and his manager. And she said, oh, you know, we have this vault of unfinished Bo Diddley songs and recordings that he kind of did in his home studio and all this stuff. And so, you know, we got the courage to say, hey, could you send us over something just to hear it? You know, it would really just blow our mind to hear something like that. So after enough time, maybe a few months of just constantly, you know, berating her with asking her to send us stuff, she finally sent us this lo-fi MP3 of the song that he was working on, and we're just like, oh man, this is, even just to hear this is incredible. And then we caught wind that the estate was trying to get artists to like finish some of these songs through the grapevine, you know. And so we got the courage to just say, hey, would you mind if we go in the studio and, you know, try and finish this thing, and, you know, we'll add our twist to it. And they were cool with it. They were open to it. So we went in all in one day in Brooklyn at a studio, and we just laid down whatever we thought we can finish the song with, and we sent it over, and it was a collaborative process with the estate, and we got the song Rain Dance.
Yeah, that's really cool. What a great story involved behind the scenes.
Especially as a songwriter and a fan of the blues and a fan of rock music, you know, you couldn't I couldn't ask for anything as exciting as that, you know.
Yeah. So you guys are heading to Colorado. You're going to be at the Dolores River Festival here in our neck of the woods this Saturday on June 2nd. Have you guys ever been down here before? Do you know what Southwest Colorado is all about?
We have driven through.
Okay.
I can't say we've played down there. We've been to Colorado a couple of times, and we were on a big tour opening for the Counting Crows, which took us all over the United States, and we were able to drive through there. We didn't stop, but, man, what a beautiful, beautiful part of the country. We're really excited to come there and be able to play music. It's an amazing experience.
Yeah, well, we're really looking forward to seeing you guys here. What should festival goers on Saturday expect from Hollis Brown?
Well, they can expect five guys up there giving everything we have with honest songs and hopefully a great time that they can dance to and have fun with.
And who's going to be joining you? You said five guys will be there. Who's going to be there with you on stage?
Yeah. So it'll be myself, Jonathan Bernier, the guitar player. Adam Bach is our keyboardist and vocalist as well. Andrew Zeno, the drummer. And Seth Ondrachek is the bass player in the band. And it's a five-piece band.
Sweet. All right. Well, again, we're really looking forward to it, and I can't wait to hear what you guys bring to the Dolores River Festival on Saturday.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show. I can't wait to come and meet you and rock and roll out there.
Right on. All right.
Hope
thanks,
we get
Mike.
Good weather.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. That's Mike. Sweet. He's from the band Hollis Brown. They're going to be headlining the Dolores River Festival this Saturday, June 2nd, over there in Joral Park in Dolores. You can find out more and get tickets at Dolores River Festival. .org. Thanks for listening. I'm Tom Yoder.